Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to episode 13 of the official Nerd Talk podcast, Geek Speak. I'm your host, Sean, and joined as always is my co-host, Josh. You're confused. I'm fucking confused, Rudy Rudolph. This is the podcast where we watch movies, make movies, play games, and more. What else can you ask for? Hey, Josh.
Hi. I'm a fan of that Euphoria sound.
You're confused. I'm fucking confused, bro.
It also makes me happy to hear Sean swear on the podcast.
I curse occasionally.
Occasionally, that's the thing. I'm the one with the potty mouth.
I'll try and show less restraint from now on. How about that?
You do you,
buddy. It's a crazy... So, we haven't recorded a podcast this year that has had news in it. So, instead of a main topic this month... This week.
This month. The entire month.
Honestly, yeah. We're doing all the news from January. All of it.
Apparently, it's a lot.
Because last episode... I think we did some brief news things, but very like of a week of news from the January 1st until like the 7th or 8th or something like that, and now we have 3 weeks of stuff that's a lot's happened. So this episode will be a bit of a recap of our first coming back in the new year, really getting into it. Yeah, it's exciting. Hey, Josh.
Howdy, howdy.
So this podcast, like I said before, we watch movies, make movies, play games, and more. We do have some fun game stuff coming up soon, and I think 2 episodes from now we'll be doing something in VR. That'll be really fun to do. We've also rebranded the Nerd Talk Productions Twitter account to just be the podcast Twitter now. The handle is still the same right now of nerdtalk_prod, but it now says Geek Speak Podcast with our logo, etc. So Josh, we also watch Disney movies.
We do.
Specifically Disney Channel original movies.
We do.
Every episode, approximately, we go through a different Disney Channel original movie, or DCOM for short.
Yes.
Yep, DCOM for short. And we'll see how, in a short period of time, the biggest media company on Earth caters towards solely children with a large sample size over a short period of time. And we'll see the quality changes, etc., see how if they do improve over time, if they don't, things like that, which hopefully Disney would. And the one for this week was Genius, and next week, I forgot what it is already.
We're in the era of this of DCOMs where I've never seen any of these, and I've never heard of any of these. So it's going to be very interesting going into these going forward, especially starting with this one. I had never heard of this one before.
And it'll be fun to talk about that soon.
Our next one is Don't Look Under the Bed.
So if you want to watch that one ahead of time for Don't Look Under the Bed, is it on Disney Plus?
It better be.
Cool. Then you'll come watch it as well, and then you'll understand what we're saying more when we talk about the plot of it. All right. So for news, Josh, some stuff's happened. But first, we watched one movie came out this past month in January that we both watched in theaters.
We did?
And that was Scream.
Oh, yeah!
So he and I both watched Scream 1 and 2 first. Both of us were going to watch all of them beforehand, and then didn't have a chance to watch 3 and 4 beforehand.
I just didn't have time. I just chose, after watching Scream 2, to go see the new one. And it was fine. It was good. Good times.
Yeah, I really enjoyed Scream 5, aka Scrifive'em, as I'm going to call it from now on, Scrifive'em.
Wonderful. I'll take that over just calling it Scream.
As a fan... Well, it's a dumb title mechanic of Halloween. It's called... 2018's Halloween is called Halloween. The new Texas Chainsaw Massacre is called Texas Chainsaw Massacre again. What is this with this weird horror trope of just calling the new version of the requel the same fucking thing?
Even though they give it justification in the movie, that still doesn't make me less mad that it exists.
But it keeps up the same meta parody vibe of the first ones, And I will watch 3 and 4. I was watching those with my girlfriend, though, when she went long distance, so you couldn't finish them before I watched the new Scream. Yeah, Screams are good, though. I want to watch 3 and 4 now. I'm actually really enjoying this franchise.
It's I'm not a fan of slasher movies, and we talked about this on our Halloween Kills episode, but this is the kind of slasher movie that I very much enjoy, and this new one was fantastic.
And the reason it's so great is because it treated it like Clue or Scooby-Doo, but with murders, like actual murders, because it's the... Everyone is equally a little bit sus, a little bit creepy. Who could it be? And the twist is always the same, but it's two people. Like, it's consistent, but it's always a little bit surprising, like, just slightly.
Because it plays with your expectations. It's like, it's one person, but it might also be two, but it might also be one. Is it the boyfriend, or is it not? We'll find out.
And they say that because, like, there are, this series established the slasher/horror rules. It's the first series ever to really say in the movie, these are the rules of horror, these are the rules of slashers. Follow these rules and you'll be safe. Like, don't have sex, don't say I'll be right back, don't go anywhere alone, these kind of things. And they say it outright in the first movie, and then everyone breaks these rules immediately when they're said. And that's really fun to play around with, and then, of course, each Scream film has a different fun intro. It's kind of a vignette-like intro for the second one has the movie theater intro with Jada Pinkett Smith, and that's a very interesting intro, which is that movie theater audience.
If I ever was in a movie theater and that was it, and it was the entire audience, I would walk out. I don't care if it's a free screening or not. I don't want to sit through that.
Yeah. Not even just the murder part. Just like, everyone, if you've not seen Scream 2, it's not a spoiler at all. The very first scene is a movie theater scene. Everyone's in costume. That's fine. Everyone is jumping up, yelling, throwing popcorn, throwing fake knives. It is chaos when a movie's playing. I want to watch the effing movie.
I like it. You took back your swearing.
I don't know what's happening, man. It is 1 a.m. I am high on sugar. I had an apple pie from McDonald's. I'm becoming weird voice time. I had a Coca-Cola.
I like the dynamic sometimes changes up between you being the straight man and being the crazy one.
The straight man?
The straight man.
Yes.
The normal one.
The comedy style straight man, not like the gay straight man. The gay straight?
First of... Go on.
Okay.
Next thing.
So that was just this past month we watched Scream. And this next little segment, we're going to call Boo or Woo.
Cool.
So, upcoming films, filmanins, upcoming movies for this month, Josh, for Mr. I'm confused, you're fucking, nope, other way around, you're, back it up!
Leave all this in, don't edit anything out.
No. So, this next segment is going to be called Boo or Woo. Or Woo or Boo. But woo woo boo sounds sillier. So boo or woo. Not woo woo boo. Wee woo boo. So, this segment is called this because it'll be the upcoming films of February that have not come out yet because February started today when we're recording this. And you could just say boo or woo.
Do I have to do it with that enthusiasm? What if I say wee instead?
That's not the point. So, number one for this month, we're going to say is. We're going to go with Jackass Forever.
Boo.
Boo.
Is it for me?
I don't want to see people get hurt.
It's not my kind of comedy.
I don't think it's funny. They are jackasses. Very much. Is fucking, what's his name, okay?
Johnny Knoxville?
Yes. Is he literally okay at this point? His head is so damaged. And Jackass Forever looks hella bad.
It just looks like another Jackass movie. If you're into that, then that's fine. We're not into that.
Next up is Death on the Nile, which comes out this next weekend, Josh.
There are so many problems that happened after this movie was even made that I kind of want to see it. Not that I've heard the production of the movie is bad. It's about the people in the movie. So I'm going to say... woo for this because I like the first one and I like Kenneth Branagh as a director and as an actor and I like mysteries.
I thought you were gonna say Kevin Branagh. I'm like, who the fuck is that? Also, you went woo,
woo.
The most like whatever, man, whatever.
But am I wrong with that?
I don't want to see Armie Hammer, Gal Gadot, and Letitia Wright in a film together right now. It's a weird combination of people. I love how the trailer seemed to try and hide Armie Hammer as much as possible.
Oh yeah,
if you watch the trailer of this movie. Armie Hammer, with his allegations of sexual assault, as well as with his maybe eating people, that's
interesting. We don't
know. That's weird. That's suspicious. But he's in the movie, but he's like a big part, but they have to hide him as much as they can in the trailers, because no one wants to see this movie with him in it. Or, it's just, that's a boo for me because of that. But also, Kenneth Branagh, with his great mustache, chewing scenery, Lockhart-level style. amazing.
In the first movie, he has a literal, like, guard for his mustache in the movie to keep it, like, its perfect shape. It's hilarious.
Nice. Next up is the movie Blacklight, which is a movie with Liam Neeson in it.
It's him as probably a former agent, probably getting thrown back into the life he once did, bad things. I don't know. I don't care.
Boo or woo?
I'm giving it a boo. I've seen too many of these, and they're all the same. All the posters are the same.
Literally, just give him an actually interesting character, please.
You see, the problem with this is that he himself has said he doesn't want to keep doing these, but I think it's the only thing that he's getting offered to do. Which sucks, because he's done good things that aren't this kind of character. So I don't know what's up with his agent, but he needs a new one.
Yeah, boo for this, because
I don't care.
I don't care.
No one cares. I've not seen a single person talk about this. And
guess what? I'm not going to force you to watch it for the podcast either.
Yes.
However, the next one, you'll be forced to watch the podcast. And that is Uncharted.
I'll give this a woo. I want it to be good.
I'll give this a big woo to make Josh mad. Woo!
That doesn't make me mad. I don't think that this is going to necessarily be bad. I want it to be good.
I think at worst, it'll be a fun action movie with cool set pieces that's unfaithful to the games. At worst.
Yeah.
At best, which is unlikely, super faithful to the games, gets the spirit of the character just right, and it is an incredible film on all accounts. That's not going to happen. It looks like it'll be a fun movie.
Yeah. If anything, it looks like at least the action scenes are going to be really well done. A lot of it looks like, when it's not like him falling out of a plane or something, it looks like a lot of the fight scenes, they're very physical and they're very varied. And he's not a fighter person. He just gets thrust into these situations and has to get himself out of them. You get what I'm talking about.
You said they're very varied, and that just made my head go woo.
But I, even though I have my own problems with it, I still am excited, and I am going to view this as its own thing.
I just think Tom Holland, people need to stop looking at him as a teenager, because he is 25 years old and is trying to play roles that are his age now.
Yeah.
And people keep seeing him as, oh, I'm a little 15 boy, and that's not who he is. He is an adult man who's older than me and Josh.
Yeah.
And we're like, oh, he's 17. No, he's paying taxes. As are we, Josh.
Yay. I love being an adult.
Yeah, I this movie looks fun. I think it'll be fun. I think it's interesting that he seems not quite swaggery enough yet, but apparently you said in the games young Nathan isn't swaggery or correct. Cocky enough yet, so it's not a huge deal anyway.
Yeah, there's like, in the flashbacks, especially in the third game, there's like a small bit of it, but it's not fully formed yet.
My biggest problem with movies like this right now is that they're trying to give hair origin stories. So Josh pointed out a good point, that Sully has a mustache. Sully has a mustache in the game, which is true, and he has like a gray hair and a mustache. So he has a Sam Elliott kind of look to him.
Yeah.
And so movies like this, he doesn't have a mustache in any trailers. Judge pointed out he'll probably get one by the movie. And my thought is, why is this always a big deal for random hair things that are, I guess, quote unquote iconic? Xavier gets forced to be bald in X-Men Apocalypse because the power of Apocalypse is too much and it burns his hair off. Rogue in X-Men 1, her white hair, which is part of her mutation, it just comes naturally in her head when she's born with it. Instead, oh, Magneto's weird machine gives her a weird orgasm face, and then she has a white streak in her hair. Why? Who knows? Or there's so many examples of this exact premise happening, where movies are giving origin stories for literal hair and facial hair. Why? I'm not wrong.
You're not wrong. It's just funny seeing you get mad about this.
It's dumb. Yeah, this movie looks fun.
Yeah. Next thing.
Moonfall. Woo or boo?
I'll give it a woo.
Woo!
If anything, it'll be stupid, but it'll be a fun kind of stupid.
It looks cool. I like the visuals and the trailers. I like the first trailer a lot.
Mm-hmm.
The first scene is like, the moon landing. There's a weird metal structure in it. There's aliens.
The moon isn't the moon.
It's a fake.
They stole the moon.
Is this Gru?
What if it is?
Gorals, come down.
I think it's Lionsgate that made this, not Universal.
Again, it is past 1 a.m. My brain's not working, but moon looks fun when it falls, and I'm interested. It's like the scene in Majora's Mask where the moon falls. Marry Me is a movie.
I thought you were just going to say Marry Me.
That's not for you. So, this also is a woo for me. I am excited for this. The cheesy romantic in me thinks it looks cute and fun, and I'm a sap for dumb and cute rom-coms.
I'm going to give this a woo also. While rom-coms aren't necessarily my favorite genre, which is ironic because I'm making a rom-com for my senior film, but this premise is so insane, and I love the talent that they got for it, of Jennifer Lopez and Owen Wilson, that it's enough to get me to see it. I don't care if it's cliched. I don't care if it's going to be bad. I think it'll be fun.
Owen Wilson has such a wholesome nature to him. Yeah. Owen Wilson is like the most I am not the leading man kind of leading man.
Yep.
He's usually not my favorite choice for almost any role, but he works so well for this because he's just like, I'm just the dumb guy in the street. Let's go put him in a movie. Kind of role. That's the vibe he gets for this movie. Same phrase twice.
He seems very like an actual normal person.
No! He seems dumber than that. He like the role he's playing. Not him, but he fits this vibe of a fun ignorance to him.
Yeah.
A whimsical ignorance, if you will. And that's what I want from my Owen Wilson role right now. From Marry Me.
Does he have the whimsical ignorance in Loki?
No, he's too smart. He's not... Well, actually, no, he's very ignorant. Never mind. But it's not whimsical enough.
He wanted a jet ski!
That's not whimsy!
How's that not whimsy? It's a jet ski!
It's a bureaucratic ignorance. He's a part of a failing system. He's a part of a problematic system. That's not the same thing. There's no whimsy. He's just stuck. Anyway, so that's always a woo from both of us. Marry Me looks cute. Next up is Dog.
I'm giving this a woo. I'm happy to get an animal movie that isn't made for kids. Every animal movie you see is always made for kids. That's not necessarily a bad thing. But I think this being aimed more towards adults, I think will make it better in the long run. Why it's called Dog? I don't know.
Boo. The trailer gives me the entire plot.
I don't care.
And I don't like the trailer. And that's a me thing. Most dog movies feel the exact same. And this one is fine because road trips are fun. And war veteran dog. I do like the one blind joke in the trailer.
That was funny. Oh,
I can see. Oh,
I can see. Channing Tatum is a director of Dog. Not the director. He's a director.
That's more confusing.
Who's the other one? This is an interesting development. Interesting.
That's the movies. Dog looks fun, but also I just don't care enough right now. And I love dogs, and the bestest boys are fun. I think I would be scarred from seeing the trailer for Clifford enough times to not want to see a dog movie for a little bit. I will watch Clifford one day, because that's a monster.
It's on Paramount Plus. I've had the ability to watch it since November, and I really
In the city? The point of him living off the shore was that he could have a house and a free reign. But in the city, you don't fit. You're a fucking giant dog.
It's always how these kids' movies work. It always has to be New York. I want a crossover film of all these kid animal movies or things that are all set in New York. I want to see them all come together.
Okay, so you want to have the new,
I want the Smurfs, I want Clifford, I want Stuart Little, I want Enchanted, I want all this together.
So you want to have the Clifford movie crossover with the Tom and Jerry movie then?
What have I done?
CGI animals.
What have I done?
Anyway, that's what's coming out this month. That was woo or boo. And next up for this next segment. So now we have news that is more superhero related. Josh, finally.
Crazy.
Also DC. The movie Batgirl, that is no longer issue of Max only, will now be in theaters as well. I'm pretty sure.
No, Blue Beetle.
Blue Beetle will be in theaters, right?
Blue Beetle is the one that's coming to theaters. I think Batgirl is still HBO Max.
I think it's going to change at this point. I'm pretty sure it will change.
It should change. It was stupid from the beginning.
But Ezra Miller. Nope. Leslie Grace.
Ezra is not Batgirl.
They can be whatever they want to be. It's fine. Okay, so Leslie Grace is Batgirl. Mm-hmm. And we got to see her suit, which is right from the comic books. And also, if you've seen the Harley Quinn show, she has the same costume design in that, too. Mm-hmm. Well, people are bashing on that first look. But the second people saw on-set photos, they're like, oh, it looks cool now. I'm like, it's just better lighting with actual, like, effects on it. And, like, now it has dirt on it. Cool.
Yeah. It's like those set photos from The Batman of, like, when he was on the Bat Cycle and he didn't like have the cape on and like the suit would look very different. People were like, this is odd. I like this. But then, you know, you see the actual like trailer and stuff. It's like, oh, never mind. This is fine.
Yeah, I like the Batgirl suit overall. People often forget also that that suit was is a starting suit for the character. It will change eventually.
Yeah.
It's here's what I can make and go out on my own and try this from that run that it's based on.
I'll take it over the Batman and Robin Batgirl bat suit. I just said bat a lot.
Yes, I like that suit though a lot, so I don't know.
It's fine. It's just not what I would go for that.
I appreciate that she... I think it's cool they actually decided to keep her with red hair.
Yeah.
Leslie Grace will probably do great. She's a good actress. I'm excited to see what she does next. And the suit looks cool.
Agreed.
I like the purple.
That purple's neat.
Purple is cool. It's a good color.
Purple.
Purple. Next about Batman. The runtime for The Batman was announced to be 2 hours and 47 minutes without credits.
I'm fine with this.
So about probably 2:55 total time, approximately.
And seeing it in the theater will be over 3 hours with previews.
I'll need to pee.
Well, you better go before the movie starts.
I'm not going to get a drink at that theater. That's too much liquid.
Did you have to use the bathroom when you saw Endgame?
I didn't get a drink.
Oh.
I don't get... When the movie is long, when I want to see the whole movie, I don't get a drink or often don't get popcorn. I just want to experience how it is, because that way I don't have to leave the theater any reason.
Ah, I can't do that.
You easily can.
I've never had... Very rarely have I ever had to run out and go to the bathroom.
I have tiny bladder. Screw you.
My question is will this stay in?
I don't know yet. We'll find out. I edit these so randomly before I keep it, don't keep it in. It... Josh does not listen to his back at all, so I have all the power here.
He has most of the power in this dynamic.
I make the podcast show notes, I decide all the things, and then I also tell him what to do. And it's very fun.
I'm the bitch in this relationship.
Hell yeah. I'm Rudy's pimp. I'm confused.
You're fucking... Wait. I'm confused, you're fucking confused.
You're confused, I'm fucking confused, bro. I've not watched Euphoria.
You should.
I've heard very interesting things about the season so far.
Okay, season 2 has certainly been something, but season 1 and the special episodes that came out afterwards are some of the best TV I've seen. It's fantastic.
So here's another DC thing, Josh, that you've watched and I've not, and that's the Peacemaker show. Hold on. Leslie Grace Batsuit reveal? Yay? Yay or nay on the Batman runtime?
Yay.
Okay, so we do yay or nay because film is and media is subjective, so yay or nay is a much more... palatable term than bad or good, because
I often forget while we're doing the podcast to do yay or nay and leave my actual opinions out of it, because I can give very strong opinions about movies.
You can give opinions as long as you just like make it more balanced instead of just saying all trash, garbage, bad, because people often, we're filmmakers and we don't have to go on a podcast and hear people just say our film was garbage and stuff.
When I say something is bad, I give reasons why.
That's true, but don't be mean.
Sometimes some people need to hear a little bit of me to understand that, oh, I need to make some changes.
You made the Peacemaker show. Nope. You've watched the Peacemaker show.
Yes, I am secretly James Gunn.
That's interesting. So, I've not watched it. Peacemaker was my least favorite character in this Suicide Squad by a lot, so I had no interest in the show. John Cena is fine. I think that his character did not make me laugh once in the whole movie when I watched the Suicide Squad. But, I've heard interesting things about the show. Specifically the threesome with him and Vigilante was interesting. Let's see. Also, the Batmite being canon, as well as Kite Man being canon now. The DCEU has gotten more wild now with this show.
Mm-hmm.
So, Josh, a quick thought on the Peacemaker show. Yay or nay first?
I give it a yay.
What is this vibe to you?
The vibe is...
Fun?
It's very fun. It's kind of going a route similar to shows like The Boys and Invincible, where it's taking this character that even what he perceives himself as and deconstructing it and really taking a look back like, oh, he is he's been severely fucked up from years with his father and everything in his life and how that's completely changed him as a person and him really looking... He doesn't even realize this yet, but him looking deep down inside of himself to figure out how to actually become an actual superhero. Because in the Suicide Squad, he always referred to him as a hero, but everything he does is not what a hero does. And in this show, he's actually has to come to terms with, like, you know, what that means. Yes, you have a question.
That's what heroes do. I'm sorry, that's not what heroes do, according to WB.
Okay, we're not talking about that right now.
Yeah, we are
that was a separate episode. But not only do I love how they're exploring his character, and John Cena's performance is actually really good in this. There are some scenes that have him showing emotion in ways that I wasn't expecting, so I very much enjoyed that. The action's a lot of fun. Most of the comedy's pretty good. There's some that, scenes that just kind of go on for a little bit too long for the comedy. I love all the side characters, and I think the not the mystery of the show, but the plot of it going forward, I think is interesting, and I'm very excited to see where it goes. So those are my thoughts on Peacemaker. If you haven't seen it, go see it.
Go see it. It's on your couch.
Well, sometimes you have to go up and go to your couch.
It's on HBO Max. You can watch it on your small phone, your watch, and enjoy it. The way Tenet was meant to be watched in the first place, in Dune, all on your watch. I'll probably watch two episodes and just judge from there and see if I want to keep watching or not. Because often you can judge a show for our first season off the first like, two or three episodes and see if it's the right vibe for you. You can get a good sense if it will improve or not from there often as well.
I say for this, watch the first three.
Some news about Black Panther. We have two things about this.
Oh, goody.
Two news. Black Panther 2 is in hell.
It's been in production hell for a long time for so many reasons.
Let's start with Letitia Wright again.
Oh, boy.
I think last time we talked about her, I actually cut it out because it was rumors more then, and now it's more factual things I can say.
Goody.
So, Black Panther Wakanda Forever. To resume filming next week with Letitia Wright back after 5 months of quote-unquote healing.
It was 5 months?
I think so. We don't check that. It was many months for sure of her.
Yeah, that's right.
So
it was like September, wasn't it? Or October?
Not important. So basically what happened is she got an injury on her leg, I think it was,
mm-hmm.
that said that she couldn't act for a while, is the official thing that her agent said. But.
There's always a but.
I don't think that's not at all the full story. She has been vehemently anti-vax for a long time. Disney, I think, has a very strict vaccine mandate for their films, mm-hmm. which makes sense. I also had three things about Black Panther news on this, because a lot has happened.
Oh, goody.
So, that's a thing. But also, she's also liked a lot of tweets that are against Black Panther, against comic movies, against the MCU. She's been, like...
It's weird.
She has been anti-comic movie for a while now, which is nonsense, because she's making millions just for doing almost nothing. You have to get a whole franchise in your hands. This is so much potential for you. And now she's back. But I think she's back so she can leave.
Probably.
And I'll explain that in a second, because the next piece of news involves Winston Duke. So, I don't know if you know about this, but Winston Duke, who plays M'Baku, or the Man-Ape, in the first Black Panther and Infinity War and stuff in the MCU, who actually went to college with Lupita Nyong'o,
mm-hmm.
who was Nakia. Also cool. But what happened here is Winston Duke, apparently, is getting a giant pay raise for Black Panther 2, and they are restructuring and reshooting scenes to give him a bigger role.
Oh my god.
Meaning that Letitia is finding her way to write herself out of this movie, probably, and have Winston Duke become the new Black Panther.
I feel so bad for Ryan Coogler, because he had everything that has been happening for this movie has not been in his favor at all. I'm willing to bet he's in his like trailer or apartment or wherever just banging his head on the wall every time something happens and he has to rewrite the movie.
And that's why I said to Josh the other day, I've said this a lot of times, but I think T'Challa should have been a recast, not a replacement kind of thing, like the character, because I think it's a shame to let the character die with the actor, because the character has a lot more storytelling to do. You can do a lot more with T'Challa still, and also give another black actor a chance to play the role, which would be great too, because I'm sure a lot of people, that's their dream role as well. And I think Chadwick did an amazing job and was so regal and elegant and like, beautiful in the role and did wonders for this character and for the community. And it's a shame that he passed so young, and it's a tragedy. But it's also a shame to let the character die with that. Because his character also just died, came back to life, and then if they're going to probably write him out, it doesn't make narrative sense to have him leave the role, have the character go away now. But now, and Letitia being a problematic person she is right now with her throwing away her career too, with the whole vaccine thing, why are the MCU scientists being dumb with real-life science? Eventually end with Letitia. With that happening...
Watch out, Robert Downey Jr.
Oh, God. And now Winston Duke is getting a bigger role with a pay raise as M'Baku and going to be having an expanded role. It's no surprise now. that he will probably be taking over the role as Black Panther, which is weird.
Look, Ryan Coogler is just going to come on screen and just say, look, I've had so much to fuck with this movie. Just accept it. Don't question anything. The movie's done.
It has been delayed again. Production has paused and been delayed again.
Is it still planning to come out next year?
I think so. But the actual production has paused right now. Because Omicron has raged in Atlanta now.
Yeah.
And caused some COVID problems on set again. And so now, everyone on set has taken a bit of a break. To regroup and come back stronger without COVID. This film is in hell.
How many pillows do you think Ryan Coogler screams into at night when he goes to bed?
Just a sheep, like an Avatar. That's it.
Just a sheep.
That's an Avatar Last Airbender reference.
He just goes every night. He just goes to the top of a hill. I feel so bad for him. Coogler is an amazing director. Fruitvale Station, Creed, Black Panther. He's so good. And to have all of these terrible cards dealt to him with this movie, like, I'll give it to him for sticking out through everything. Because a lot of directors, like, if this happened, they would have left to do something else.
I have positive news for you, Josh, now.
Cool!
Ready for it?
I don't know.
So, Knives Out 2 news that's not about casting, which we did for a long... The first, like, 5 minutes of the podcast, like, Knives Out 2 casting, guys! Just because
it was always every week there was new casting news.
So Knives Out 2, expected to drop in late 2022 now, officially.
Cool.
Likely to have a fall festival debut, like, all this stuff. And it will run on Netflix immediately, but there's a lot more buzz now about it potentially going to theaters.
I'm fine with this.
And I would love that. Like, the first Knives Out earned $311 million on a $40 million budget, which is great.
That's a really good success.
Netflix announced in March 2021 that it had thrown down an astounding $450 million for the rights to the two follow-ups to the murder mystery, which is insane.
Mm-hmm.
But also, the fact that we've been saying nay to every piece of news from this by our own little dumb rule because it's going to Netflix instead of theaters, that might go away soon. Right now, it's still currently a nay for the release date news because it's not officially announced that it'll go to theaters too. But it has now, it looks like there's more traction for that to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
And
it better be an actual theatrical release, not like a limited theater release.
Like the fucking Irishman? The 25-year-old, 80-year-old man?
Oh my god. Look, okay, let me rant about de-aging actors. We need to calm down with it. It's too much. It's happening too much. Why can't we just cast younger actors to play younger versions of them? Robert fucking De Niro did it in Godfather 2.
Robert Duvall!
I was about to say Robert Duvall. I had to stop myself.
I think it's... If the actor physically looks like they're... You can de-age a face, sure. But the rest of their body, their movements, would not match.
A perfect young casting choice for an older actor was Josh Brolin as Tommy Lee Jones in Men in Black 3.
So good.
You know what would worry me? If Looper was made today, Bruce Willis would have been playing the younger self and not Joseph Gordon-Levitt. And it would have been worse for it.
I still haven't seen Looper.
You gotta see Looper, man.
I gotta see Looper?
You gotta see Looper.
I gotta see Looper.
You gotta see Looper.
Looper. Dude, I gotta see Looper. For sure.
Bonk.
Anyway, so that's a thing. Knives Out 2. Oh, what a movie. Look at us.
Who'd have thunk?
Let's talk about Arnold Schwarzenegger.
He's a man. He's got muscles.
Bigger than yours.
Yeah.
So, he took to, like, Instagram and Twitter and his social medias to just post one picture with the phrase, coming February 2022. So this month, there's a picture of him as Zeus. That's it. It looks like a cool, kind of like a fan art or something, mm-hmm. Honestly. It doesn't look like it's so well put together as a picture or poster. I'm guessing this is going to be a Super Bowl ad.
Definitely. If it's for NFTs, I'm going to scream.
Watch this be for some Netflix movie that's coming out.
Well, no, Netflix is terrible with marketing their stuff. Yes, I fully believe that could also be the case.
It's a poster. It's just him in gold-plated armor, a big Santa Claus beard, long hair, and there's no pants. There's no legs. It's just the
theme. What if it's the Doritos commercial for the Super Bowl?
It's the Bud Light commercial. Even Zeus gets drunk sometimes.
Look, whatever comes from this, as long as it's not a commercial for NFTs, I'm fine for it.
I don't think you know what NFTs are, Josh.
No one understands what they are.
A lot of people do. I don't care enough about them. Also, this picture is great for this. There's a picture of Tobey Maguire screaming peak cinema about this picture. It's great. But the Zeus picture, I bring it up because it might be film news. We don't know.
It's a big question mark, but it's a question mark that excites me. I can't say that often enough about question marks.
But the symbol or just general questions are explained. Yes. Okay. That symbol, exciting. Look at the curve. Look at the dot. Peacemaker show, you said yay.
Mm-hmm.
Letitia Wright, Black Panther news?
Nay.
Nay. Winston Duke news?
Yay, but also nay, because of all the problems.
I keep telling you, pick one. You always say, can I do both, or can I do eh? No, pick one.
I don't want to give it a yay, because then that means then that I'm happy that the problems are happening.
Then give it a nay.
But I want to also give it a yay, because I like him as an actor.
Pick one.
I want to do both.
Then you're disqualified. Leave the room. Your torch is being snuffed.
Fine, I'll give it a nay.
You've been voted off the island.
Ah, damn it.
Okay, Survivor. Previously on Survivor, Josh got voted off the island. Your tribe has spoken. Bro, you'd be so good on Survivor. You'd like make the best fires. How do you think you do those challenges?
Not good.
You really don't think you'd do well?
No.
Why not?
I know my physical capabilities, and they're not the best.
The social part of the game, like the lying and the conniving and the...
No, I hate lying and conniving.
Would you be nice to people?
Yes.
Would you like tell everyone, like, here's all the secrets I know?
I wouldn't tell them the secrets. I'd be reluctant to tell them the secrets.
Who would you trust?
No one, because I know they're all after me.
That's a good point. Like, we're watching now season 21 of Survivor with Josh, and, like, this guy, Chase, he thinks with only, like, his dick. That's it. He's like, I like this girl, Brenda. I'm going to mess up every planet now just to be with her. And, of course, didn't work out best for him. Everyone kind of hates him now, and Brenda's gone.
And he still doesn't understand why everyone hates him, and is kind of hilarious.
Also, spoiler for a season that was 10 years ago, I guess. Sorry for saying someone who left the show. You can just Google the winner. Don't Google the winner, Josh.
I wasn't planning on it.
You grabbed your phone when I said that.
Ooh, I wonder who won.
Who do you want to win the season? I've seen it before.
I'm going with Fabio. I want him to win. He's pure of heart.
If you watched this very niche section of our Survivor rant from season 21 of Survivor from 10 years ago, then I'm glad you listened to this part. I know, I've seen it before, but yes. They put their wooden chest next to a fire.
That was so stupid.
It burned down their whole camp. That was dumb. Like, we're going to cage in the fire so it won't spread. It spread everywhere.
It backfired. Ah, quite badly.
Yeah. So anyway, Prison Survivor, Josh got voted off because he wouldn't say yay or nay. You said nay?
Yes.
All right. So, Peter Dinklage.
He's a man. He still hasn't watched Game of Thrones, Peter Dinklage.
I like the first few episodes. That's what I've seen. Like, 4 times. Anyway, so, Peter Dinklage. Well, actually, this is a two-part news thing, because it's...
Mm-hmm.
Peter Dinklage called out on someone else's podcast, which is pretty funny. I don't remember whose podcast it was now. But he was saying that it was great for Disney to be progressive in casting Rachel Zegler, a non-fully white actress, as a Snow White, which is progressive and great. He said, but you're still telling this backwards-ass story about seven dumb dwarves. He called them dumb and or dim-witted at first when he said, small people who are living together in this like dirty cave. And he said that was really backwards-ass thinking and not progressive at all, and he can't believe they're still telling the story, which is a fair point. And people were like, what does he know? Who died and handed him King of the Dwarves? I'm like, that's literally...
He did, through everything he's done!
The next quote just said here is, what the fuck are you doing, man? Have I done nothing to advance the cause for my soapbox? I guess I'm not loud enough. And of course, he's not involved with the Disney project. He's just upset by this, which is fair. I'm part of a straight white man who is a very... able-bodied person. I have very few problems in my life based on the way I appear and the way I go through life. Same with Josh. And so it's often hard for us to think about stuff like this because we don't deal with it ever. I'm so glad this has been called out. I think about it more and more. And yeah, it's really weird.
Yeah.
It's a weird story, first off.
Yes.
The non-consensual kiss to wake her up.
There's so many things that are a
this
thing.
Naive little girl is just living with... Stop kicking the boom pole. Did that sound fine or no?
Yeah.
This naive little girl is just living with a bunch of small people who are, like, stinky and gross. They don't have real names. They're just emotions. Like, that's kind of a messed up thing to tell. And now Disney actually responded to it in a positive way, which was impressive. That doesn't happen ever. Usually they just double down and deny the problems. And they said, and I quote, "To avoid reinforcing stereotypes from the original animated film, we are taking a different approach with these seven characters and have been consulting with members of the dwarfism community." Disney put that statement out, which is fantastic.
How much you want to bet one of these new seven magical creatures will be voiced by James Corden? Think about it.
My disappointment is immeasurable and my day is ruined.
Because if this is a musical, number one, we get to hear Gal Gadot sing.
Gal Gadot.
And then you would hear James Corden sing.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I don't think it's a
musical.
Watch
them all be animals instead. Just like randomly chipmunks or something.
Probably will be.
That's not... That's an easy... She already talks to animals all the time in this. Like, she sings for animals, so...
It's probably going to be either animals or, like, humanoid animals.
They're all just unicorns.
Snow White and the Seven Unicorns.
It's a fascinating idea, and what would you replace them with? Just don't tell the story.
I would be surprised if this didn't happen. Like, this movie didn't exist.
Watch it turn out like the Idina Menzel Cinderella movie.
Oh, dear God. Let's not go to the bad place, okay?
That's a place from the show The Good Place. So, we have news about Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, Josh.
We do! It's
this
sad
is
news.
From Deadline reported that James Gunn talked about the end of Guardians of the Galaxy franchise and a lot of other things on the podcast Hero Nation with Dominic Pattern and Anthony, last name, I don't know how to pronounce. I'm not going to try and butcher it. So James Gunn, we're coming on our podcast here. I know I've said I don't like your humor, but prove me wrong. Come make me laugh on our podcast. What if that works, Josh? What if he comes on now?
I've said good things about you, James Gunn, so if you want to come on for me, then
I love Guardians 1.
You need to come around the Guardians, too.
I think it's fine. I give it a positive rating. 7 is good. I can say it's good. Anyways, so Guardians of the Galaxy news. What he said was about Guardians 3, it's big, it's so, so big and dark, and different from what people might be expecting it to be. And then he said, I just want to be true to the characters, the story, and give people the wrap-up that they deserve for the story. And then he said, that's always a little bit scary. I'm doing my best. And
I'm doing my best, Julius.
He said, I'm aware that the third film in most trilogies sucks. Not always. It's a great thing to say. He also said that Yondu's Zune is in the mix in this one. The Zune that he gets. And he basically said that this is the end of the Guardians that we know. This is the end of the team that we know in the universe, which is good, I think. It's sad, but it's good.
Yeah, I think with a lot of the MCU stuff, I think that ones that we started out with need to have some kind of actual ending to them. And I think him ending Guardians on the third film, or at least this specific team, I think is a good idea.
Agreed.
He'll be sad.
So, oh yeah, yay in Peter Dinklage news. Yeah. Overall, the changing is good. Yay on the Zeus news?
Sure.
I'm curious, so yay. Yay on Guardians 3 news?
Yay.
Yeah. Let's end these bitches. I love the team. I give it grief because I care.
Yeah.
James Gunn is a very clever person. James Gunn is a very clever person. I think he does a good job with his story and characters, and I'm excited to see what he does next anyway.
Yeah, Guardians 1, I love it, aside from the villain. And then Guardians 2, maybe, especially on recent rewatches, made me fall in love with not just the film even more, but what Gunn did with the characters and how he explored them. I thought that it was, especially a lot of it, a very mature and a very different way of going about it. And I very much enjoyed that. And especially having a good villain in it made it even better for me. Obviously, I agree with you on there's a lot of humor in Guardians 2 that it just goes on for too long and isn't always where it should be. But overall, it's overwhelmingly positive to me.
Speaking of superhero teams, yeah, let's go with that segue. Justice League is a movie, right? As Telly,
no,
too,
but I've also never won. I've never heard of this before. Twitter has been so silent on it.
Twitter has been very, for years, no one's mentioned the movie at all, or Zack Snyder once. So, oh god, I wish I was shrew.
God, it'd be so nice.
I like Man of Steel, BVS, and then Snyder Cut. That's not the point. We're not, insanely in love with these films like everyone else in the entire world is, or obsessed with them.
It's gotten to a point now, especially with the Snyder Cut release, that's borderlining on bad.
But do you like Aquaman?
Yes.
Do you like Jason Momoa?
Yes.
Do you like Fast and the Furious?
I love Fast and the Furious.
There's a whole franchise?
Yeah.
It started with stealing DVD players, and now they're going to space.
It's always been silly, but there's a sincerity to it, and it's a sincerity of silliness.
Well, the first one is a Point Break ripoff.
Okay, aside from that.
And then it gets interesting.
Yes.
Like, 4 or 5 onward is just batshit.
It's amazing.
So, Jason Momoa is joining for Fast 10.
I'm excited. I'm so excited.
I hope they call it Fen of the Furious.
It makes me more excited, because it's part 1 of 2.
Is it actually?
Yes.
Oh, God. I...
Just watch them all. You will have fun.
That's the plan, bitch. Jason Momoa fits right in, though.
He fits so perfectly in. It's going to be so great. And him as the villain for the first time. Yeah, he's the villain. That's what it's supposed to be. It's been a while since I've seen him do a villain role.
Yeah, that's what the article says.
So, seeing him go up against Vin Diesel and everyone as the villain makes me very excited. And I hope that they can bring John Cena back. I don't know how, but I would love that.
I would like to see Momoa start playing roles that aren't himself, though.
I can understand that.
He's just, I guess, Dothraki Man, Khal Drogo, isn't himself. So, yay Momoa joining the Fast franchise.
Yay.
I have more fun news, though, Josh.
Yay!
So, one movie's getting a sequel. The first film was quite a long time ago. This is Chicken Run, Dawn of the Nugget. I love the first Chicken Run so much.
It's so much fun.
With now Zach Levi as the lead of Rocky.
You know, I think it was probably a smart move of them to get rid of Mel Gibson. Yeah. I don't know why, but yeah, it just seems like that it was the right thing.
Just an idea.
Just an idea.
I love that David Bradley is still in this as Fowler. He had Filch.
Oh, okay. I had to think of who he was in the movie.
He was the old veteran, pilot guy, I think. But Zach Levi, I think, can play that cocky, that fly guy kind of character again.
I'm very happy that Zachary Levi is getting more roles now.
He's
from
great.
Shazam.
He's great.
American Underdog, not my favorite movie, but he was good in it.
He's great in Chuck.
Yeah.
Dawn of the Nugget is a very fun name. Because when did the first one take place?
I have no idea.
Because it's the same people who made like Wallace and Gromit and Shaun the Sheep, but kind of like that stop motion.
I'm really happy that stop motion animation still exists.
Very rarely. But yes, I'm happy too. So yay on this news.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Mel Gibson being replaced.
Yay. I will say, the movie with him as Santa Claus with guns, that was something.
Oh, Fat Man.
Yeah.
But that wasn't Klaus. We are getting a reuniting of Elizabeth Mitchell and Tim Allen the Santa Claus show on Disney Plus.
Yeah, this out of nowhere miniseries.
Yeah.
So is it going to end with him getting thrown off a roof?
God, I hope so. I want to throw Tim Allen off a roof. It sounds fun. Tim Allen, no disrespect. I just think it'd be fun. It'd be a fun scene to do. That's all.
Just the idea, because like that's how it had to happen to the others.
Is that really, really? It had to happen.
I'm not wrong.
Yeah.
Just the amount of times Santa has been murdered in those movies that we've seen, because like the third one, you see it like happen like 3 times. Seems like fun.
You were duped by magic the whole time. He was lying to you for a long time.
Look, man, gaslighting. It's a thing. Have you seen Kissing Booth 3?
No, actually, no. What are you talking about? Yes, we watched a little that go-kart scene. Nonsense. Yes, but this is yay, I guess. I like Santa.
I give it yay.
Star Wars.
It's a thing that goes in the galaxy.
Yep. So, the Ahsoka Tano show starring Rosario Dawson, who might be a transphobe. If you are Rosario, fuck you. If not, cool. Keep doing what you're doing. That was a thing that was a while ago I heard about a lot of times. People were calling her a TERF. I don't know. If you know for sure, please let me know so I can keep saying yay or nay correctly. But Ahsoka Tano, her show, starring Rosario Dawson, who was in The Mandalorian. Spoilers for Mandalorian, I guess. But
you know by now.
I have to say the new news. So Mary Elizabeth Winstead is joining the cast of the new Ahsoka show. And that's cool.
This I'm fine with.
She is fantastic. From Royal Pain in Sky High to Huntress and Birds of Prey to Random Girl in Swiss Army Man. She is...
10 Cloverfield Lane. She's fantastic in that.
She's great in everything.
Yeah.
And Scott Pilgrim, so good. Ramona. Also, Hayden Christensen is going to be in that show, which is confusing. Probably in flashbacks because he trained as Ahsoka.
Yeah.
And he looks relatively the same.
Yeah.
So that works
fine. He's aged pretty well.
Yeah. Percy Jackson author Rick Riordan shares new details about Disney Plus series and has been officially greenlit. They're making the show with him involved. Very involved. It will be actual like 12-year-old stuff playing his parts instead of like a 17-year-old version of the boy Percy. I'm currently actually reading the first book now, The Lightning Thief. I'm enjoying it so far. The writing is a bit dumbed down because it's for kids.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the most exciting of language to read. It's a little bit dull. But it's very fun so far in the actual adventure, and I can picture everything really well. I'm liking the characters. I've seen the movie a lot as a kid. I thought it was always kind of fun. As someone who never really read the book much, I knew it was very different because I had skimmed the book for school in like third grade.
As someone that grew up loving Percy Jackson, the series, and then the sequel series, Heroes of Olympus, that movie pissed me off as a kid. That was the first time I ever saw a movie that made me mad for a number of reasons. But I went back during quarantine and rewatched the first movie, and it's a nay for so many reasons that I can't get into. But the sequel, Sea of Monsters, is a lot better. It's still not great, but it's more faithful to the book, and it actually has fun with not just making it a fun movie, but actually wants to explore this world in the way that it is, where the first movie just kind of felt like, it's there.
In the movie, they take the first few chapters and take the essence of what works there and keep that part in the movie pretty well.
The reasoning he's going on the journey and the journey itself.
It's different.
The journey is very much in the movie set up like, here's point A, go to it, here's point B, go to it, here's point C, go to it. The book, they don't know they don't know anything. And that's great. I love that.
Like Horcruxes in Harry Potter.
Yeah, exactly. But this was, you know, not as dark as that.
Although I did love seeing Rosario Dawson as Persephone.
that whole Sean underworld Bean scene was... Zeus. Yeah, and it's a Sean Bean role where he doesn't die.
And I love the fun Lady Gaga song, Poker Face, playing in the casino.
Yeah.
Great scene. Just him eating the cupcake is like the Felix Felicis.
That is the only scene that feels actual true to the book. In every sense of it.
Also, this is a pen. This is a pen! I'm really excited for this. This is a big yay for me because I'm actually trying to read all the books before I watch the show now. I'm excited for that.
Also, something that was always weird to me as a kid was he would have to cap the sword to be able to put it back as a pen. Like, it's a sword. You have a tiny little cap. Donk! And then it shrinks down. I'm fine with it being a click. That makes more sense.
Yep. We have news. That's the end of the news segment, Josh. Neat. That's the slash main topic. Now we have to talk about a little thing called Genius. So we just watched the Disney Channel original movie, Genius, today. And next week, do you remember what next week is?
It's Don't Look Under the Bed.
That's the one y'all gotta watch next time. So, I have a lot of notes here.
This is one I didn't take many notes on.
I know, I was there when you were watching, you just kind of enjoyed it.
Yeah.
This is a fun one.
I never heard of this one before this, and it kind of makes me mad that one I never heard of is actually one of the few, so, like, genuinely fun ones.
Before we go into for, like I said earlier, for news, we gave yay and nay. Same thing for these. We gave this a yay or nay because we don't rate movies against all of cinema. We rate them against their own genre and their own competition. Like, this is going against the other DCOMs, not against, you know, Citizen Kane and Paddington.
I mean, we can't compare it to Citizen Kane and Paddington. It wouldn't be fair for Paddington. Nah, Paddington.
No, because this beats all of them, right? So Genius is actually, I'm giving this one a pretty hearty yay. This is really fun.
Yeah, I'm giving this a yay. It kind of fits into, like, the can of worms category.
This, to me, might be number one right now.
I can see that. That might be. It probably is for me, too.
Can of worms is fun and absurdist and nonsense. But this has more of a plot that actually works and is cohesive.
And there's actual jokes here that surprisingly work.
Well, there were jokes in Kingdom Hearts that worked too.
Oh no, I'm not saying there wasn't.
And same with You Lucky Dog, which was just watching Kurt Cameron go insane.
Great time.
Dog boy, dog man. So, this one specifically, if you've ever watched the show Brooklyn Nine-Nine, he shares a name with one of the main characters in that show. With Charles Boyle is this kid's name.
This kid is named Charlie Boyle.
So Josh, in about 1 minute, describe this plot to the viewers. Go ahead.
So, Genius. He's a boy genius. He's not Jimmy Neutron boy genius. He doesn't have a fudge head, but he still is a genius. He gets into college, and the college, he gets into Harvard and another one, but he goes to the other one because they are going to make him teach a class, and he gets to work with particle accelerators. But then he gets to college. He's getting bullied because he's a nerd, and he's also a child.
Yeah, that's
and it's weird why. Seeing 20-year-olds bully a child. But anyways, so he sees this cute girl, and then he's just like, ooh, I like that, and he becomes Chaz. Now, Chaz, he goes to normal school. He's like a punk. He's a bad boy. He gets attention. He's stupid. It's the complete opposite. It's a whirlwind of emotions. But he also likes hockey, but that doesn't really matter. And so he's living this double life now as college professor child and then punk boy child. But it's a movie, so there's conflict. And conflict is that. Will it get resolved in the end? Find out later, next time on Survivor.
Or on this podcast. We spoil these. That's the whole point of this.
That's true.
So, first off, this bitch turned down Harvard. Dumb move right away. The first thing we learned as a kid, he turns down Harvard. He gets, I think, 4 or 5 acceptance letters. It's not just, like, 2 colleges. He chooses to go to a local school that is, it's, like, equivalent to saying, I'm going to go to, I'm just going to name random city. Like, Cincinnati. I'm going to go to Cincinnati College. You could go to NYU, or you could go to, like, this fucking bench. Just go to a bench inside. It's so weird. Also, he doesn't take classes, like, at all.
Yeah, it's...
I have a theory about that as well.
But I think with him choosing that college is because of the particle accelerator. Because, like, they're one of the few that actually, like, have one or whatever the reasoning was behind it. And they were working on, like, some really innovative stuff. So, on those reasons, I can understand that.
Yeah, there was a few different scientific things he was going to have opportunities to do there. It wasn't just that. There was other technology to have access to. And this kid is 13 years old. He's a prodigy, a genius, which is a real thing to happen. There are real, like, 13, 14-year-olds that go to college. They get a bit exiled because they're
children.
He's a child with an 18-year-old. And he looked outside his window and saw 18-year-olds getting drunk and having a party and talking to girls. Like, it's like, I'm lonely. I can't do anything with anyone here. That would suck so much. But also, the dad in this looks like a discount 90s Tim Allen.
He does.
Have you noticed that? It's the exact, like... The Santa Claus, the exact outfit.
Yeah.
It's weird. Scott Calvin vibes. The kid also, in his room, had access to nanotechnology. He said he made something in his house with some nanotechnology. Okay, Tony Stark. A little weird. Also, did he just move into school without his dad and during the middle of the semester? That's what it looked like happened. School was just going already, and he's just like, I'm just going to walk in with my backpack. That's it.
He's a genius. The rules don't apply to him.
So I have a theory about this, because he didn't seem to take any actual classes.
Mm-hmm.
What I think is he got this great deal with his thing is you get to teach one class here, and then next semester you'll be enrolled as a student. Is what I'm thinking is happening. You'll be working with the professor here on the particle accelerator stuff. You can teach one class while you're boarding here, and then next semester when you'll come in, when the semester's actually over or whatever, you come in as a full student and you can have all the classes and stuff. Because this college, why the fuck how did they get this to their college? They tell him, you can teach, you get a whole semester to have access to the great your toys, you're with another scientist, you can play with this particle accelerator, like the Flash, you can learn a bunch of cool stuff, and then next semester you'll be learning. I think that's what makes sense here. They don't ever say that, but that's the vibe I get. If he's not here to learn yet, he'll be here to learn soon.
Yeah.
But also, this plot makes a lot of sense. Like, as it goes on, nothing doesn't make sense. I mean, it's all pseudoscience bullshit, but like, we have nanotechnology. Oh, this quantum ring of magic. Oh, look, we have graviton.
It's really best to not think about it.
Sure, but they follow its own consistent nonsense logic. Everything they say and do is consistent with what things that have already been established to be able to just say and do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's important with pseudoscience.
Yes.
So he goes to this school first off, because he meets a cute girl. So he is at this college, Northern, I think is what the school is.
Something like that.
And he's a hockey player, he loves playing hockey.
But he's a nerd, and they don't like nerds, so they don't let him play.
Right. And now he went to look at the rink, and he heard someone skating. It's a cute girl just doing, like, being a ballerina on the ice and doing figure skating. And it's really pretty and cute. And, aw, he has a crush now. When she asks him his name, his name is Charlie Boyle. When they ask him, when she asks him his name, he just says, he has a little flashback in his head of dirt memories saying, stop trying to do the same thing. It's not working, all that stuff. Because he's a nerd. He keeps trying to make friends. He keeps failing at it. Because he's being himself. He says, I'm Chaz. Chaz Anthony. He has this, like, little...
And he whips off his glasses when he says that.
Yeah. And he's like, I'm cool.
And this is when the film really enticed me. Because then it becomes... When he's in the middle school and he's being, like, you know, his idea of what a bad boy is like, it's so absurd. But the fact that everyone goes along with it is peak late 90s to me. It's great.
Yeah, it's absolutely fantastic.
Let's talk about the fashion of this. The extremely baggy clothes of the late 90s.
He wears this baggy-ass leather jacket the entire time as Chaz, pretty much.
Every piece of clothing he wears as Chaz is about three sizes too big for him.
And it works because the same way that Tobey Maguire with the symbiote works, it's what he thinks is cool.
Yeah.
It's not what actually is cool, but he's like, yo, 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 cool dog, crib, all the time. It's amazing.
This kid does a great job with it.
He is selling it. He is acting to the max. He's doing a good job acting this part. Like, really good job.
Yeah. It was a very fun time watching it all unfold.
And Max Fleischer, I think his name, who plays the scientist, does a good job too. He has a fun time interacting with this kid. It's impressive how well he actually acts with a kid. That's a good job.
If you've watched the show Shameless, Emmy Rossum from that plays the girl in this.
Or if you watch Dragon Ball Evolution, she's also in that.
I haven't seen it, but I know that we don't talk about it, just like we don't talk about Bruno.
We don't talk about Bruno. No, no, no. So the particle accelerator in this is a lot smaller than the one in The Flash.
I don't know, I haven't seen it in The Flash.
It's a big tube.
Cool!
So, it is the same kind of thing. A particle accelerator is a real thing in real life. The idea of, if you were trying to accelerate one particle of something through a giant tube conducted with a lot of heat and a lot of force to try and move a particle fast to change its form and state or something, which is true. And they do that, trying to find this made-up thing called a graviton. I think it's made up. It's made up, right?
I think it is. I don't know. I do film stuff.
The idea is a graviton in this universe is they're trying... It's a thing that allows gravity to work, basically. Like midichlorians for the Earth.
Oh, goody. I'm glad we're bringing midichlorians into the conversation.
It makes sense what I'm saying. So these little particles that allow gravity to work, which is really dumb... Because it removes the fact that mass is what makes gravity work. Because in real life, mass of an object pulls other things in. But no, this is just, we have random midichlorians in the world that make particles of space attract other particles. I mean, that's fine. It's consistent with the rest of the movie. And they're trying to unlock, using the particle accelerator, a way to, with some fusion reaction to make it so the gravitons, they can control kind of gravitational fields and defy gravity. Spoiler alert. It kind of works with the power of music and electricity.
As most things do.
Yeah. he hacks into the middle school to get himself a fake name and go in there and be a new student. And his first thing is about his, he tries to disrespect this teacher in the same way other students disrespected his class he's teaching.
Okay, I want to go back to his first class. When he's writing his name on the board, what the fuck did they throw at the board? Because that wasn't like a spitball. That was a spit basketball. What the fuck was that?
It looked, it had chunks of things in it. It was white. It looked like a pie.
I just love the idea of these hockey college players just wasting having a pie.
And wasting it.
And wasting it.
That was the guy Mike, who later on kind of redeemed himself.
Yeah.
So Mike is this douchebag guy who's like, he was going to be a roommate with our boy Chaz.
We will just refer to him as Chaz, even though that is his fake name. Is
Charlie. Which they have a great moment on his name later in the film too, which is great. But, so our boy Chaz is roommates with these two guys. Like, they named their dorm, what was it? Like, it's like something to layer or whatever.
I will say, it is odd, like, because we're in college. It's weird the idea of having, like, a child room with you, even, like,
if, I would
even
hate if you that. Have... I would hate
you,
that.
Like, even if you have, like, doors separating you, like, that is a very weird... Because if you've been to college, college is an experience, and a lot of different things happen. A lot of things that children should definitely never be around.
The alcohol alone, we don't do alcohol. We don't do alcohol.
We don't do it.
But I understand the distance from the from Mike and his friend.
Yeah.
Not Mike. That I take from Chaz boy. I get it. It it's they're mean to him excessively, which isn't right. And I would it would be a bit emasculating probably for them to take a class from a 13-year-old. Like, we were in college, come on, because someone else teach us instead. I get it. They're a bit insecure and stuff like that, because he's really, he's smarter than all of them, taking physics. And this boy, Chaz, Charlie boy, does teach and tutor Mike later on to help him pass his classes, which is really cool. And then there's a, like, well, I'll return the favor somehow later on, and it's great. But backing back to the school, so Mike, in his class, throws the, what might be a pie, at his name on the board. The
questionable pie is what we will refer to it as.
Sure. It has chunks of yellow. It looks like a meringue pie of some sort.
I think it was just a giant spitball. That's the only explanation.
The Hulk spit it out?
I guess. It's the only thing, because he hit that board like a motherfucker.
Yes, anyway. So he said, I'm teaching this class. Hi, I'm just roughing this class. And then Chaz, Charlie, when doing the Chaz form, said the same thing to the teacher. He's like, I'm teaching the class. And he said, I'm going to disrupt this class.
And what's funny about the different reactions is when Chaz does it, like, it's a normal kind of, like, laughing from him. When it's the college kids, they think it's the funniest thing they've ever heard in their goddamn lives. And this is not the only time this happens in the movie. Like, Mike, at one point, goes up to answer a question on the board, but instead he just makes this, like, sketch drawing of Bart Simpson, I guess. They are laughing their asses off. They think it is so funny, and it's kind of hilarious how funny they think it is.
A lot of jokes in this do land pretty well. When he first says, his name is Chaz Anthony, it makes me laugh. It was a very funny moment.
Because Chaz.
Not Chad.
That is a very late 90s cool name.
I also thought this is Charles Boyle's origin story.
I can see that.
Like, he dumbed himself down in Brooklyn Nine-Nine so he could, like, get along with everyone else.
And there's moments in Brooklyn Nine-Nine when he becomes, like, a cool guy. It's just like, is Chaz coming back?
Let's think about some of the hijinks that he does as Chaz. He tries to be a punk to make girls like him, make friends, because Charlie Boyle doesn't have friends. He's lame and awkward and nerdy.
He's a nerd.
Even though this girl would actually like him more if he was the nerdy boy, which is part of the thing, is don't lie. I also made a note, because this movie, I called it Dear Charlie Boyle. So if you've ever seen Dear Evan Hansen, it's the same plot. You know, it's the same base premise of...
There's
waving little, through a window.
There's a little bit more sci-fi to this than that. Sure. But I can understand it.
So it's the same of, I need to be someone different. I'm not good enough who I am.
Okay, well, Dear Evan Hansen, it kind of got out of hand, he had no control.
There's a lot more new. I'm making a joke about the name, that's all.
I'm aware.
So it's some of the hijinks that our boy Chaz does. Let's see. We have the wonderful... controlling a skeleton in the classroom through a magic remote that makes no sense and is never explained.
You know, as you do.
It's not like he's controlling wiring or anything like or metal.
He makes it move and dance.
He makes it like a human in a skeleton costume doing things, which is not the case. It's a skeleton.
And I love his reason, like, how he did it, because the teacher asks, like, how'd you do this? He's just like, I got a nerd to do it for me. Even he knows that that's some bullshit right there.
The teacher knows he's smart the entire time, like that.
this is the trope of, like, you know, character pretending to be someone that they're not, like, can always be fun or can go very wrong. This was a very fun way of doing it.
And the teacher takes a whole field trip to the college to meet the actual smart boy, to have Chaz meet Charlie. And so he keeps switching back and forth of the real Charlie. He disguised himself with purple paint on his face and a broken leg and talks with a funny voice.
He's like a gravelly voice.
To say he's been injured in a lab accident. And he has to keep running back and forth to see and get it off and on.
My favorite part of that whole thing was when he leaves, goes back into the audience and goes back on stage and he's getting ready and everything. The scientist that's helping him, he's just like, I gotta get on the stage quick. He just fucking throws him.
Push me!
Like, he throws him from one end of the stage to the other, and it's so insane, and I loved it.
It's like an iconic scene in the movie Mac and Me, where the kid with the wheelchair is just flying off a cliff, going, ah! In the lake.
My favorite thing about that is every time Paul Rudd got interviewed by Conan, he would always bring that clip.
I know. There's also a song in this called My Love is Strong. It is the most, like, late 90s. Also, it came out in 1999, this movie. Which is the year I was born.
But I'm going to miss the era of seeing these late 90s DCOMs. So they have a special feel to them.
My Love is Strong song is a nonsense song to have where it is. It's a girl tutoring him so to help him get a C. Because he has to dumb down even his answers. He doesn't need tutoring. He's just trying to get closer to a girl again. This girl he likes, her dad is the hockey coach at his college who knows who Charlie Boyle is. Which is even better. So he has to hide and do some really weird antics to try and avoid that.
It's fun.
Honestly, if you all don't watch any other DCOMs, watch this one. I think it is the most...
You will have fun. Because I don't hear anyone ever talking about this one.
If you want a plot that makes sense and isn't absurdist to the extreme, like Can of Worms or You Lucky Dog, this can give you the most normal, quote-unquote, best version of that.
Yeah. It's very fun. The Dean in this...
It's not quite Dean Pell's novels of Wild... But this dude is obsessed with, I don't know what, he just, I love him.
There's no way really to describe him, but there's a point in the movie where the particle accelerator fucks up and, like, breaks the hockey ice, and the ref calls it, okay, we have to call the game, we can't finish this right now, we'll have to wait. The Dean turns to the coach, and the coach says, we were so close to winning, and the Dean was like, wait, we weren't winning?
Also, the best part of the Dean is... He gives the same vibe as Spider-Man 2 J.K. Simmons does, which is, oh, you're fired. Oh, you can stay. Actually, never mind. Get back in here.
Yeah.
It's just, everything he says is on a whim. There's no rhyme or reason to anything he says. Like, I want to win. I want that cup. Oh, you're doing an experiment? Maybe the best experiment ever, but don't go do the experiment right now. Come over here.
He said, I'm going to the concession stands to buy a foam finger.
Yes. I love him.
I love when it's near the end, he's still doing his back and forth thing, and he's like, I have an experiment with the particle accelerator. He's just like, but the press, big press. Ah, come on, your experiment could wait later, or whatever it was.
Well, what he said was, make it a big experiment. Make it the best experiment ever. And now, come on.
Yeah.
It was like, you just said to...
But he's his experiments.
Here's the thing. Stop lying to women to get them to like you in media, please. It happens as a weird trope, Aladdin. Like, it happens so often. And the women always forgive the men for this. Always. It makes no sense. I was lying because I really liked you. And I didn't want to mess up.
What's so funny about this trope even existing is the idea of the trope is at the end to learn to not lie. Yet we keep seeing this trope. Like, the existence of the trope should die by the end of the movie that began the trope. Because it's just like, don't fucking do this. Yet every movie does it.
Also, at one point, music literally solved the issue. So there's a weird dance scene. So there's a particle accelerator, like I said before, they're trying to get this graviton to work, to be able to defy gravity. Him and our boy Chaz and the scientist who he's working with. And to do that, the one thing they've never tried before this experiment is to put on music during it. Like, music? Waveforms? Waveforms? Science? Science? Wow! And now it works! Sort of. But not fully. That's how they captured the graviton. And then how do they supercharge it to get to defy gravity? That comes when it gets a little bit of a shock. It gets some magic zoop, some zzz. At one point, I literally wrote down, after the whole debacle of the back and forth of the I'm Chaz, I'm Charlie on stage.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote down, is leaving that school really worse than faking all this? Because, like, you could just dip it. You literally have no cause to stay there. You have nothing to really lose.
This is the most elaborate way a person could ask a girl out. Because that was the entire reason that he did this.
Well, he also wanted friends.
Yeah, I guess. But it started with the girl.
After, of course, naturally, the charade goes away, and everyone Charlie and Chaz become one.
From the way the poster was, I thought that it was going to be like a split personality thing, like the experiment would go wrong and there'd be two versions of him, the smart one and then the dumb one. Yeah. Thankfully, it's not that.
It's much better than that. What is this two personality, smart and dumb one, but it's clever with it.
I love it when he's talking to Mike about, like I don't have what you have. I'm like, yes, you have. You've been faking it this whole time.
Take it, make it, baby. But after the whole charade is up and they become one again, like I said before, he's trying to explain to this girl he likes, this Dragon Ball Evolution girl.
Emmy Rossum.
I don't remember her character's name, is what I'm trying to say.
Girl.
Yeah, if he's trying to tell girl, curly-haired girl, who always has sad music behind her, talking consistently.
I swear, Disney just has stock music that they use for their DCOMs, because you can interchange this with every other score we've heard, and it's not going to change anything.
Right, but after he's talking to girl, he's trying to apologize, I'm like, god damn, at least let him try to explain. He's 13, he can't make a fucking mistake. Like, she won't even hear him out at all.
It's so funny when he keeps calling her and keeps coming back to her. At one point, she just lifts up the phone and lets it drop on the receiver.
And it's great, because it could be your dad. You don't actually know. Like, you don't know.
It could be someone that needs to talk to you.
Right. Could be your grandma. She could be dying. You don't know. Your mom's already dead, I think. Because dead parent trope. Or gone.
I thought that his mom was dead, because we never see her, but then the dad says something about like her dinner casserole, and then she shouts from like the kitchen. We don't ever see her in this.
Yeah, she's just busy.
She's just busy.
But the girl doesn't forgive him. The only reason she agrees to work with him again is because he's going to save her dad's job. That's the only reason why. And it becomes, and then they kiss while flying. We'll get to that in a minute. But yeah, I think it's a pretty well-structured film in terms of how mostly works. Also, it's a sports movie, without being a sports movie, and I love that part.
Yeah.
The way they actually convinced all his friends to work with him, the way it happened, is he saw them playing hockey. And he walked at them playing hockey.
I remember now.
And I know a way to solve everyone's problems and fix everything is, leave us alone, don't make it about you. First off, it was never about him.
Don't come by your house. We're done.
But he was trying to get about saving your dad's job. It was never a selfish act there to the end.
No.
They said to him, bye, Chaz, and walked away. And he said, my name is Charlie. And they all turned around simultaneously. And that's what convinced them. Like, it's like, you knew his name already. This was new information. What? Is it him admitting to his name? He's already done that.
They're just like, what the fuck? This is his name? Oh, this changes everything.
It was very weird. That was my last note I took.
My mind is remembering this now, when he's still being Chaz, and he's talking to the girl, and this is after, like, they were skating, and he's just, like, he's talking to himself, okay, just be cool, count to three, and it's all gonna be good. You're gonna reach over your arm, and he goes to reach over his arm. She's just gone.
A lot of guys I know overthink asking girls out all the time, or other small moments.
I do.
It's not that complicated.
It's super complicated.
I mean, I know it is, it's terrifying, but also, like, just don't think about it.
I've been told that a lot. It doesn't usually work.
Just turn off your brain, Josh.
There's no switch for that. I've searched for the switch many times.
So the movie ends with flying. So there's a hockey game, and our boy, Chaz, Charlie, they become one, of course. And after they've become one and they fix all the problems, they help this hockey team through magic, pseudoscience, and whatever, blah, blah, blah. They help the opposing team to not cheat. They don't cheat, they help the opposing team to not cheat, which is actually a better way to do that instead of cheating to win.
They take the skates of...
We don't need to explain it. It's nonsense.
It's complete nonsense. But basically, they're controlling the movements of the other team. Usually, it would be they're controlling the movements of their team to win. But instead, they're messing with the other team to make sure that they don't win.
But they're not even doing it in a way that's disrupting their gameplay. No. It's literally, if their other team was going to hit their teammates illegally, they would stop them from it.
Yeah.
Which is a good way to do that. It literally just stopped cheating on both sides. That was cool. Then, because the electricity, like, gets all over their magic particle accelerator, their graviton began working!
And they flew!
Everyone who had the magic rocks in their shoes, which is also explained in the movie, don't worry, makes people be able to fly. And so there were flying people on the ice skating rink, and the dean ate it up. He loved it.
What's funny is when it first happens, no one cares. Everyone's just watching the game continue going on. Like, in a normal circumstance, everyone would have stopped.
Oh my god, flying kid!
Exactly. But no, they keep the game going because America. And so...
What?
Oh, look, man, I'm tired.
It is currently 3 in the morning.
Oh my god.
Yes, but it's great. And it's very fun. And the girl and him make up together, and it's great. And they hook up in the air. They fly in the kiss, and it's cute. Josh, where can people find your social medias?
You can find me the Instagram at j_rudy16, Twitter j_rudy28, and YouTube at Josh Rudolph. And if you feel so inclined to follow my Letterboxd, it's nerdforfilm28.
What's poppin'? You can follow me on places. So I am on Twitter at TheTheaterNerd. I am on TikTok at ThatNerdInTheater. I also run the email for this podcast at nerdtalkproductionsyt@gmail.com, but we will also be making a new email soon for this podcast specifically. That's not just a Nerd Talk thing, because we're rebranding Nerd Talk to be, we are the Nerd Talk crew, we are the Nerd Talk production people, but we are making the Geek Speak podcast. So that's where we are rewriting things currently to be Geek Speak only. You can tweet at us with hashtag GeekSpeakPod or at nerdtalk_prod. And also, have a good day.
Yeah. Have a good night as well, because it's 3 a.m.
Good night. I'm going to bed. Bye.
Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
Well, something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode, too.
We're professional, unprofessional, so if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.